You're listening to The Head Trash Show with the founder of Head Trash, Alexia Leachman. Head Trash is the home to the new and unique Head Trash Clearance Method that removes unwanted negative thoughts, feelings, and emotions quickly and effectively so that you can achieve clarity, confidence, and contentment in your life. Tune in every week as Alexia shares insights and simple strategies to help you create some headspace to experience confidence and clarity in your life and business. To find out how to clear your head trash quickly and effectively using our unique method, pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get our free download and subscribe for our free head trash clearance updates. And now for the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Head Trash Show. This is me, your host, Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Now, I've got a real treat for you this week, especially if you're a smoker, but even more so if you're a smoker who wants to quit. I'm chatting this week to Sean Hopkins. Now, Sean is a reflective repatterning practitioner, so he uses the technique that I use, one of my favourite techniques, which is the technique behind our five-step process. And he used that to quit smoking. Now, he didn't just smoke, you know, 10 a day, 20 a day. This guy, in his own words, smoked gargantuan amounts of not just tobacco, but cannabis. He was a major smoker and smoked massive quantities like that for nearly 20 years. And he used the five-step process to quit smoking without even trying. So when I heard him share his story originally, I was like, oh my goodness, I have got to get him on the podcast because this guy has got to get his story out there because there are so many people that want to quit smoking and just can't. They desperately want to quit smoking. They try all sorts of things, hypnosis, patches, willpower, books, goodness knows what, and yet they still go back. You know, maybe 2 months later, they're back on the fags again. So this is just such a brilliant episode for so many reasons, because not only does he give a little bit of his backstory, which helps to put his quitting achievement into context. My goodness, this guy smoked ridiculous amounts. This ridiculous, in his words, gargantuan. And yet he was able to quit smoking very simply using the five-step process that you can get for free on the headtrash.co.uk website. So seriously, if you're a smoker who wants to quit, then you've got to sit down right now and listen to this with a notepad and paper and write down what you've got to do. It's actually quite simple when you hear it. It really is so simple. But he managed to successfully do it. And he didn't even feel like he was trying. When he sat down to do the work, he wasn't even trying to quit. He was just trying to, you know, create the space so that at some point in the future, maybe he could quit. It really is an amazing story, and you've just got to listen to it in his words. So this is when I spoke to Sean Hopkins, a reflective repatterning practitioner and therapist who works with trauma, PTSD, all that kind of stuff, on how he quit gargantuan amounts of joints. Welcome to the Head Trash Show, Sean.
Thank you. Hi.
Now, just for the listeners, this is the third time we've recorded this interview due to various technical issues. So hopefully we're going to be all right third time round, Sean. So before we dive in, because Sean is going to share with us how he quit smoking using the five-step process or reflective repatterning on which the five-step process is based. And it's a brilliant, brilliant story. But before we dive into all that, Sean, just tell the listeners a little bit about you and what you do, who you are, that kind of thing.
Hi, I'm Sean Hopkins. I'm a reflective repatterning practitioner. I'm also trained in TFT to VT level, which is the top level in the world. I've got a bit of hypnosis behind me and a couple of other modalities, but basically I'm an RR practitioner through and through. If you split me in half, you'd see RR inside me.
Okay.
I work with trauma clients mainly, but of course I work right across the gamut of human emotions, but most of my clients are deep set PTSD sufferers, trauma sufferers, people that have been raped, abused, things like that.
Okay, well, thank you for that. So you've got quite a bit of experience in working with emotions. How long have you been working in this field?
About 6 or 7 years, something like that, all told.
Okay. So when you were, you ended up using the tools that you are familiar with to help you with your quitting of smoking. But before we sort of go into all that, could you just share with us a little bit background about your background as a smoker, just so that people have got a little bit of context and understand your own smoking journey, as it were?
Okay, well, you know, why did I smoke? I started, like most people did, at 14 years old because it was cool.
Yeah.
And I started smoking cannabis because I'm a dual smoker. Cannabis and tobacco were my addictions, if you like, at that age. And I didn't smoke any more than anyone else. I just smoked a bit here, a bit there. I was a fitness freak at the time. I was into rowing and other things. So, you know, I just smoked it recreationally. But due to events in my life, I got post-traumatic stress disorder. And smoking cannabis became a crutch. It became something to try and keep me stable. I used it night and day, and the habit grew and grew and grew and grew.
Okay.
Until eventually I was smoking gargantuan heroic amounts of cannabis, you know, enough for 10 people and the elephant that was sat next to me.
So when you say gargantuan amounts, just kind of paint a picture for us, will you? So people understand exactly what that means.
Well, most people would smoke, you know, in a week, maybe 7 grams of cannabis, which would relate to a lump of solid cannabis about the size of, you know, my finger to the first knuckle.
Right, okay.
Whereas I'd smoke a lump that related to my hand, you know, about the size of my hand in the same period of time. So I was probably smoking 20 times as much as most people. Something like that. Maybe more.
So you were smoking about that. That was your weekly quantity.
Yeah, yeah.
And how long were you smoking that kind of amount? For
20 years, although it did start to tail off once I'd begun to do some work on the post-traumatic stress disorder, the quantities did come down, but they were still way, way higher than the average smoker.
Right, okay. So you said you started doing a little bit of work on the PTSD side of things. So just tell us a little bit about that piece before we go into the smoking piece. And what did you do around the PTSD?
Well, I'd been a serious insomniac due to the PTSD and, you know, to the point where I was only sleeping 2 to 3 hours a week, and it was, my brain was just completely fried.
A week, did you say?
Yeah, 2 to 3 hours a week if I was lucky. My brain was completely fried. I was walking around most of the time hallucinating, and I was desperately searching for an answer to what was going on for me. And eventually I came across the tapping therapy, TFT.
Thought field therapy.
Yeah, yeah. And I did some initial work with the tapping therapy, which released a lot of the trauma for me, allowed me to start sleeping, allowed my brain to recover.
Okay.
I then went on to train in other modalities, a bit of hypnotherapy, advanced levels of TFT, and then I went on to do RR.
Reflective repatterning.
Reflective patterning. And once I came across reflective repatterning, then I began to do some more serious work around that area to relieve the deep set trauma that had gone on for me.
Okay. So it sounds to me like you're saying that the smoking was really a way of coping with the PTSD. Is that right?
Yeah,
is that fair to say?
There's no way I would have coped without smoking. It was a godsend for me at the time. It was very important to my survival, I think.
Right, okay. So when you, in the lead up to you quitting smoking, what kind of headspace were you in? Were you in that kind of, I really need to quit, I want to quit, I'm going to try and quit? Or what was going on in your head as you were sort of approaching that time where you did what you did to quit?
Well, I felt like an unwilling chimney, you know. these gargantuan amounts of smoke were going in me and out of me. Without my permission anymore. I didn't want to be doing it anymore, but I had no control over it. So, you know, there were a series of factors that were locking me in to continue smoking.
Right.
And I was frustrated by the whole thing. You know, socially, it no longer matched my lifestyle. It got in the way of everything. I couldn't even go on holiday without smuggling cannabis out the country.
Right.
You know, which is what? How ridiculous is that? It's just completely and utterly ridiculous. Mm. You know, I couldn't think about going anywhere without taking a large volume of cannabis with me. So I was at risk of being busted by the police day and night everywhere I went, 24/7, 365 days of the year, yeah, because of this habit, which I didn't even want to be doing anymore.
Okay.
It was difficult for me to consider stopping because I'd been using it in that way to, as a crutch to, you know, keep me safe, to keep me from losing it for so long that I thought I needed it.
Okay.
In every respect.
Mm. So tell us now, what do you do then to help you to quit? What was the thing that, before we go into that, had you tried to quit before?
Yeah, I tried everything under the sun, you know, patches, e-cigarettes, willpower, hypnosis. I tried everything.
Right. And did if it work for, even for a tiny bit, and you just relapsed, or did it just not even touch the signs?
The hypnosis worked for a week or two, and then, you know, I found myself just hypnotizing myself into believing I'd stopped while I was smoking.
You are a sneaky one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
So now tell us, what did you do? How did you finally quit smoking these gargantuan amounts of tobacco and cannabis? What did you do?
I used the fantastic tools that I got available to myself, which is reflective repatterning.
Mm.
Yeah. I asked myself the question, what was stopping me from stopping?
Okay.
And in asking myself that question, a lot of issues came up. I started to understand the bigger picture for myself around why I hadn't been able to give up, even though I really, really wanted to. There were a lot of fears associated with stopping, and those fears needed addressing. So, you know, I sat down and I worked out what these fears were, made a list of them.
Okay.
With the intention then of using reflective repatterning to balance those fears, neutral.
So just a little note for the listeners, when Sean is saying he's using reflective repatterning to clear the fears, he's basically referring to the five-step process you can get for free off the Head Trash website. So if you listen really clearly to what Sean is saying, you can do this at home too. So just a little recap. You basically sat down and you asked yourself the question, what is stopping me from stopping smoking?
Yeah.
And whatever came out, you just wrote that down.
I wrote it down, and then I worked on each of those issues. A list of 10 or so things came up.
Okay. And what kind of things were on that list then?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I'd been using cannabis all that time in order to stop myself from losing it in connection with the PTSD that I had, which losing it meant getting very angry, becoming an angry bastard. And on the previous occasions when I tried to stop smoking, that was the first thing that came up, is my stress levels went through the roof. I became very irritable, irrational, very, very angry, easily kicking off. And I didn't want that. It had wrecked a relationship in the past. And it had been a fear I'd been carrying around with me for a long time. I also feared losing my friend group, which was all cannabis smokers, because I had no choice. I mean, you know, you don't mix with the general public smoking spliffs around, and they don't like it.
Mm.
So your whole friend group becomes cannabis smokers.
Mm.
That becomes normal. Well, what other things were going on? What other issues were coming up? Well, fear that I hadn't dealt with all of the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, maybe the cannabis was successfully suppressing some of that condition.
Mm.
And so, you know, if I were to stop, that would rise and debilitate me again. For example, I might go back to not being able to sleep, which was a massive, massive fear that I had. Because I've been through the mill, not being able to sleep for so long.
Mm.
And I really didn't want to go back to that space.
What about the rituals around smoking and, you know, the feeling of having a fag in the hand or a joint in the hand? And that aspect, you know, some people like having things in the hand or like the ritual side of things. Did you cover any of that aspect?
Yeah, for sure, because if you think about it, you know, if I was getting through, say, 20 spliffs a day, I was probably spending an hour or more of my day just rolling them.
Yeah.
and then the time spent smoking them. So if you say then 15 minutes times 20, you've got a lot of minutes involved in rolling and a lot of minutes involved in smoking it. So they were, those periods of time were in a way quite special. They become quite special to you. Your hands get used to rolling. The ritual itself becomes important to you, you know. And then there's things like, how else am I going to deal with stress? I've dealt with stress on a day-to-day basis for 20 years by, you know, rolling one of these cigarettes and smoking it. That's what I've done. So, you know, there's a lot of things that come into play, a lot of fears that were stopping me from making that decision to stop.
So when you were, I'm just trying to, like, you know, if you can just sort of describe to us that day when you, what did you do? Just kind of like you decided, I'm going to write this down and today's the day I'm going to quit, or what was going on in your mind when you decided that you're going to write this list? And, you know, how did that unfold?
Well, I wasn't thinking I'm going to stop.
No.
In fact, I was avoiding thinking that I'm going to stop. Because in the past, that's what I've done. I've said, okay, right, I'm going to stop. And 5 minutes later, I was rolling a spliff. So, you know, I sort of tricked my brain a little bit into allowing myself to do this piece of work around smoking. So I made my brain feel safer. It's all right, Sean's brain, you're not going to stop. And my brain sort of accepted, it knew something naughty was going on, but it sort of accepted that, and it allowed me to sit down and ask myself this question: what is it that stops me from stopping?
Okay.
And to take this question seriously and to write down all these points, 10 or 12 or something like that, points that came out, major points that came out. And I, while doing this, I continued smoking. I didn't try and stop. I rolled spliff after spliff and took nice long breaks and, you know, went out, because I never smoke in the house, went outside and smoked on the balcony. And, you know, just chilled out, not really thinking about giving up, just thinking about what it was that was stopping me from stopping, so that I could get this list together, so I could then consider, well, what, you know, the next step is to RR this list, or to do the five-step process.
On the list.
On the list. And, you know, then once I got my list together, I started doing just that each point. So if it was, you know, fear of being an angry bastard, bleep, 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 then I would use RR, you know, loving and hating, being an angry, bleep, bleep, bleep. And then it's opposite, you know, loving and hating, being a calm, cool person. And then I'd go down the list and do the same thing all the way through, using reflective repatterning, smoking away like a trooper.
Good man. So how long did this clearance take for you, doing all that work? How long did that take?
Because I spent a lot of time smoking in between and having lunch and all of those things, it probably took me, you know, 6 hours, 8 hours, maybe, something like that.
But, so the day, you spent the day just clearing stuff.
You know, I wasn't in any rush, and to me, it, you know, it wasn't leading to, I wasn't looking for a result from it. I was looking to just get myself to a better position so that I could think more clearly about giving up at some point in the future. At least that's what I told my brain.
Okay. And then what happened then? So you cleared all this stuff, and then what?
Well, while clearing it, I began to notice quite quickly that something was changing in my attitudes towards smoking, because, you know, the ritual of rolling didn't feel the same and smoking didn't feel the same. There was no adversity to smoking. I was quite happy to continue smoking, but it, something felt wrong. I can't describe what exactly, but it didn't, the need maybe wasn't there in the same way, or the enjoyment wasn't there in the same way, or maybe both those things weren't there in the same way. But I continued anyway. There was no attempt to stop. I wasn't attempting to stop smoking. I was just attempting to understand why I didn't want to stop and dealing with those issues. So at some future point, I may stop.
Okay. And so it started getting a little bit, you noticed the changes already that day. So how did the next few days unfold for you, having done that work?
Well, I carried on smoking.
Okay.
Of course. You know, I had tobacco, I had cannabis, I hadn't intended to stop, So I carried on smoking, but it did feel strange. And, you know, I got to the point where my 50-gram pouch of tobacco started to get low, and eventually it ran out. And this was about 10 o'clock one evening. And normally speaking, I'd just go over the road to the local shop where we buy our milk and I get my tobacco. You know, the people behind the counter know me well. I walk in the shop, they get the tobacco off the shelf, you know. So they're used to that.
Yeah.
But I got to 10 o'clock at night, no tobacco. And I've got to have the tobacco because otherwise I can't have a joint.
Yeah.
That's the way it's delivered, you know. It's like my hypodermic syringe, you know. That's the way I deliver it into my system, so I've got to have it. So, you know, I was almost at the point of putting my coat on to go out the house, and my brain just went, oh, don't bother, get it tomorrow.
Right.
And that really confused my head a little bit. That left my brain going, what's that mean? Because I'd never done that, ever.
No.
There had never been a point when I'd go, oh, I'll get it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I left it. I just did what my brain said. I went to bed that night, got up in the morning and had my breakfast. And then I realized I haven't been smoking. You know, I better go to the shop and get some tobacco. I haven't got any tobacco. And my brain just went, get it later. Nah, there's something wrong with this. This ain't right. This isn't normal, you know. I knew I'd done the work on myself, so I was expecting something or another to come. But I wasn't expecting my brain to revolt against me and just say no, you know. So I went along with it again, and I went through that day, and we got to the evening. And the evening time was the time where I particularly enjoyed smoking.
Mm.
You know, I smoked all day long, don't get me wrong. It didn't make any difference. I didn't smoke any more in the evenings. I just smoked a lot all day.
Yeah.
But I particularly enjoyed it as my relaxation in the evenings. So it come to the evening time, and once again, I sort of said to my brain, well, you know, should I go over the shop? And my brain just went, nah, don't bother. Go tomorrow. I'm thinking, nah, this is getting ridiculous now. This is just stupid.
Mm.
So, you know, I left it again. I got up the next day, and once again, the same pattern happened, and I realised, well, I was no longer smoking, and that was pretty much that, I guess.
So from that day, so basically that's it, you stopped?
Yeah, instantly, gone, bosh.
And when was that? How long ago was that now?
That was over 4 months ago now.
And so you haven't wanted anything, you haven't relapsed, nothing?
No, and normally speaking, you know, what you'll find, or what I found, and what a lot of other smokers find, is that they can get a month down the line, or even 2 months down the line, fairly easily.
Mm.
But around about that point, they give in.
Right.
And there was no wish for me to start again at any point. I'm over 4 months down the line now. I don't get any cravings. I haven't had any cravings. I haven't had a wish to smoke. In fact, at no point has my brain said to me, you'd like a joint.
Right.
Or a smoke of any form. You know, I go to the shop in the mornings, most mornings, get the milk or whatever. And, you know, when I first started going in the shop, I'd get bits and pieces and they'd be turned into the till and I'd be saying, oh, I don't buy that anymore. You know, I don't want any of that. And they're looking at me as if to say, what? Damn, we've lost the customer. Damn, you know. So they've got used to that now.
Yeah.
They know now I go in and I'm not interested in buying the tobacco. But at first, that was very strange because that would be a normal thing for me to do, go in and get my Rizzlers and my tobacco, you know, twice a week, three times a week, or whatever it was that I'd buy a 50-gram pouch to keep me going.
Yeah.
So all that had stopped.
And what about the, you know, a lot of people say that in the first few days when they've stopped, they experience the more physical side of lacking nicotine, you know, the addictive, the kind of the, like, their body starts responding as opposed to the mental piece. Did you notice anything with your body in terms of wanting the nicotine that wasn't a mental piece, but like the shakes, or, you know, the things that people describe when they do quit smoking? Did you notice anything like that?
No, I can't say I did. Obviously it's a different state to be in. I was straight.
Yeah.
And so I noticed that. I noticed that no longer was I stoned.
Okay.
But I didn't have any form of physical withdrawal that I can describe in any way. The only thing I did notice was the first couple of days, it was a little bit more difficult for me to process and manage stress.
Okay.
But that was only for a day or two, and I RR'd that. I used the five-step process on that to level that back out. But I can't say I picked up any physical symptoms whatsoever.
Right, okay. Because some people, they say when they've quit, they have those symptoms, and in their mind, the way that they're going to kind of stop that is, oh, I'll just have a fag, and that'll kind of plug that and stop it. So none of that happened to you?
No, not at all. I've at no point smoked since.
Mm.
It's never even crossed my mind to smoke. In fact, if I ask myself that question, shall I have a smoke? My old system says, well, no, why would you want to? Because I'm so chilled out now that smoking couldn't touch it. I'm far more chilled out than I ever was while I was smoking.
Right. So it sounds to me like there wasn't really, you know, you didn't really engage your willpower. You're not trying to not smoke. You've just stopped. That's it. And now you have no desire. There's nothing. You're not battling anything. You're not fighting it. It's just happened. And this is now who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm in a very neutral space. I'm not fighting to stop, to avoid smoking, but I'm not adverse to smoking. So if I see somebody smoking in the street, all I think is, well, it's not me. Yeah. But I'm not, you know, the smell of smoke doesn't attract me. It doesn't repulse me. The thought of smoking doesn't attract me. It doesn't repulse me. I'm just sat in this middle ground where it just does not matter.
So you've achieved neutrality around smoking.
Which is, you know, that's what reflective repatterning is all about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's very easy to take something like smoking just on the surface and say, okay, well, I'm going to do reflective repatterning on myself for addiction.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, often that won't be enough.
Okay.
You need to understand what it is that's holding you into that addiction.
Mm.
And that's why I ask myself the question, what is it that stops me from stopping?
Yeah.
And what, you know, the majority of addiction to whatever substance is psychological.
Yeah.
And in understanding psychologically what it is that's keeping you bound into your addiction, and then using RR to release those psychological and emotional factors, then there really is no addiction afterwards.
Mm.
There's nothing that you can pick up in the body, because what's being picked up in the body is being generated by the brain. And you've already neutralized those issues in the brain.
Mm, mm.
So the body doesn't respond in a withdrawal type sense.
Right.
Just find yourself in a very neutral space about smoking.
Right. Because you do hear a lot of ex-smokers being very anti-smoking and very, oh, I hate the smell, and they're very, very anti it. And so, but you don't experience that at all. You're very, you're just in this wonderful place of neutrality where it just doesn't bother you. You're just not bothered.
Yeah, I'm not bothered. That's really very much all I can say about it. I'm not bothered by the whole thing around smoking. And you might say, well, you know, you could say, well, surely if you're not bothered, you might start again.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I'm not bothered about that either.
Just not bothered.
I'm not bothered. That's the truth of the matter. I'm not bothered. If I was really, really adverse now to smoking, that would be some sort of psychological attempt to protect myself from starting again.
Right.
That's how I would see that sort of adversity built up in my system. If you look at hypnotherapy, for example, they use techniques like that, you know, aversion techniques to stop people from smoking. So that they're disgusted by the smell and look of tobacco. They're disgusted by the feeling of it drawing into their systems, you know. They use tricks like making you imagine in the mind that you've got a beer glass full of stub ends that you've put water with and you've mixed it all up together and you're going to drink it, you know, to make you vomit, to make you repulsed by the idea. Whereas I've none of that going on inside me. I'm neutral. And in being neutral, it means I've got choice.
Yeah.
So I could choose to smoke. Mm. And then I could choose to stop again.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Because I'm not unbalanced about the issue.
Yeah.
I don't want to smoke. I don't need to smoke. But I'm not unbalanced about the issue.
So do you find your time... are you spending time with your friends that still smoke now?
Yeah.
And how is that for you?
There's no difference, really. You know, I just go into their environment and they smoke and I don't.
Yeah.
It's really as simple as that. It means I can still mix with the same people. It hasn't caused any issues in that respect. They think I'm a bit strange and that I'll start smoking again shortly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think 4 months down the line, they're starting to understand that whatever you know, I did to myself, something's changed. Because I've told them I've used, you know, the tools I use in my therapy on myself. But, you know.
So the fact that you're a therapist, I'm just thinking, if somebody's listening to this and they are a hardcore smoker, whether it's tobacco or cannabis or anything else that they might be smoking, and they want to do this and try it out, do you think the fact that you're a therapist has given you an advantage, or do you think anyone can do this?
I think if someone answers the question honestly, with deep reflection, why or what is it that's stopping me from stopping smoking, that they will generate a list of factors that are making it difficult for them to stop.
Mm.
And if they then use reflective patterning on those issues and their opposites, they will be in a very strong position to stop.
Mm.
So they will have the potential to do this on their own. But how honest are people with themselves? That's why having a therapist in the situation can make a difference.
Yeah. Certainly I find when I'm working with clients is that even though the technique itself is actually very simple to use and you can do the clearance yourself very effectively, a lot of people do struggle with that unpicking, that figuring out what is actually going on in their head, what are their motivations, what are their fears, and just understanding that. So I think it's, yeah, like you said, having somebody there to help you understand how you feel about this and what your fears are could be a very helpful place, that a helpful part of that process. However, there's no reason why somebody couldn't start that journey themselves and see how far they get. And certainly, again, with my experience working with RR, is that once you've worked on a few of those things, you start peeling back the layers and start to get closer to maybe being in a better place to do further work. So like with your story where you described, first of all, you did work on the PTSD and you were moving towards creating a space that enabled you to eventually deal with the smoking situation. But there was a lot of pre-work before that to create a great headspace, in other words.
Yeah, I think that we smoke is the same for the same set of reasons as we drink or we take other drugs. It's a coping strategy.
Mm.
And if we're using a coping strategy, there must be something that we're having to cope with that we're not coping with in reality.
Mm.
So we're using some form of crutch to support that.
Mm.
So, you know, often the journey for a smoker will be understanding that. Because otherwise what happens is, if you just say tomorrow, whether you use patches or whatever it is you decide to use, okay, I'm going to quit smoking, you no longer have your coping strategy. So, you know, in a lot of cases, people that smoke have anxiety issues.
Mm.
Or they struggle to deal with stress.
Mm.
Or they may have some form of background depression. Or they may have a background trauma.
Mm.
And, you know, with reflective repatterning, if you've got that 5-step process in front of you that's on your fantastic Head Trash site, then you can begin to play around with that to work on small areas yourself. And in doing so, bring yourself closer to a balance where you can challenge your need to have this coping strategy of smoking or whatever addiction that you've got.
Or even, yeah, eating, you know, people that kind of compulsively eat and comfort eat or comfort shop or gambling, anything
exactly
like that.
The same thing. Exactly, yeah. The same thing is going on. It's a coping strategy. You know, it might be a coping strategy for something as simple as boredom.
Yeah.
That could be the case. They're just bored. They haven't got enough going on in their lives. And, you know, if that's the understanding you come to, well, I'm eating or I'm drinking or I'm smoking or I'm taking drugs because I'm bored, then, you know, do RR boredom. Start there.
I've got stuff for you to do. Come and give me a call. I can fill your time quite easily.
Yeah, you know, find something to fill your life with.
Yeah.
Never hurt. You know, find something that you enjoy in other ways. Can never hurt if that's the case. But, you know, generally speaking, we've got something on a psychological or emotional level that we are struggling with.
Yeah, yeah.
And that needs some form of resolution before we will effectively stop smoking. A friend of mine tried to stop smoking the same time as me, and she lasted nearly 2 months and gave in. She was doing really well, but then something, you know, a stressor arose in her life, and she went out and bought some cigarettes.
Right.
And that's a very, very common thing. So she's not dealing with the general stressors that come into her life very well, and feels that smoking helps her to do that. Mm. When in actual fact, it's the other way around. Smoking is what makes us get stressed.
Right.
So what happens is, from a neurochemical point of view, we pour a series of chemicals into the brain that settles the brain. But those chemicals only work in the brain for about 20 minutes. So then they start to empty out of the brain, and then the brain becomes stressed. So we have another cigarette or another joint to relax the brain again.
Mm.
And we get caught in that cycle. Whereas if we weren't smoking in the first place, the brain wouldn't be stressed in the first place, because it's not being starved in between smoking of those chemicals.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. Well, Sean, this has been really, really interesting, and I'm sure there's going to be lots of people listening that are going to really want to give this a go. How many of them succeed is another thing entirely, because as you and I both know, clearing your head trash using RR, you do have to want to sit down and do it, and you do have to be committed to doing the work. But if you do sit down and do the work, the benefits, the rewards are just transformational, as you've shared with us today. So thank you so much. Now, I also know that you do work with people with addictions as well as the trauma stuff. So I will put some information on the Head Trash website for people that do want to maybe take this further and maybe want to work with you on some of the stuff that they're dealing with as well. So if you want to find out more information about Sean, then there'll be information within the podcast show notes for today's episode. And you can find everything you need to know about Sean on the Head Trash website. Thank you very much, Sean, for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure. It's really fun.
Well, I hope that you found that really, really interesting. Listening to Sean sharing exactly how he quit smoking, I think is just a testament to how brilliant this technique is, but also just how simple it can be to get amazing life-changing results. Now, if you're interested in quitting smoking, Sean and I have come up with a quitting smoking package. So if you want to let us help you to quit smoking, then you just need to check the headtrash.co.uk website and just go under book a session, and you will see that we've got a quitting smoking package there. And you can choose to work with either myself or with Sean, depending on who you prefer, right? So just a little overview as to what that package is. Basically, there's three levels that you can work with us. You can have just the level one, which is basically one session to help you to unpick all of that stuff around why you can't stop smoking, all the motivations why you do smoke, and all of that emotional stuff that keeps you tied in to smoking. And then there's the level two package, which is basically you do all that clearance, you do all that unpicking, all that untangling of your head trash as well, figuring out what's going on. But also there's two clearance sessions included as well. So that means not only are we helping you to unpick your stuff, but we're also helping you do a bulk of the clearance work. And it may be that you need to top that up with some of your own clearance work using the five-step process. And then there's a final level three package, which basically we are there holding your hand for a number of weeks after you've quit, so that to support you in case you get some of those little stresses that come back in your life and you're not quite sure how to cope, those moments when you might need to reach the fags again, how you're feeling, what's going on through your mind, and what support you might need at those moments, then we'll be there for you at that point too. So there are three levels, like I said, that you can choose from depending on how much support you feel you need. Now, of course, it might be that you don't need any of this and you can just do all this stuff on your own by identifying your fears that are stopping you from stopping smoking. But if you do need some help with this, you've been trying to stop for years, you've tried everything and you just want somebody to hold your hand, then we have come up with a quitting smoking package. So just check the Head Trash website. You can find it straight from the podcast show notes. So if you just go to headtrash.co.uk/smoking, then that will take you to the links that you need to start checking out how we can help you to quit smoking. So I hope that you found today's episode useful. If you have any questions whatsoever, then email me at hello@headtrash.co.uk. We've got the Facebook page as well, so come and check us over there. Say hi, and of course, tune in next week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in. You've just been listening to Alexia Leachman here on The Head Trash Show. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get your copy of the free 5 Steps to Clearing Head Trash guide. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes for more strategies, tips, and how-tos for clearing your head trash and reclaiming your headspace. Until next time.